Well, the excitement is building for Saturday, 11 a.m. I do love the fact that, you know, this is the one game where Nebraska could actually have more control over when it kicks off.
They could.
They still kick off at 11 a.m. That's when the spring game is, 11 a.m. And Dylan Raiola certainly will be the center of attention, as we expect him to be. The conversation regarding the optimism this year and where everyone stands with Dylan,
yeah,
has been a fascinating one. And I sometimes wonder, when we engage in these conversations,
are we
just being a self-fulfilling prophecy?
Great question.
Because I'll be honest with you. Now, this is just me. Am I any more optimistic about what Dylan Raiola could be or what this season could be based on the last 7 days, 10 days? No.
Your view of him in the situation has not changed in the slightest because
no.
of the discourse surrounding
him. Now, I will also admit that, you know, it was a couple of weeks ago where I thought this could be a breakout year, that I'm kind of anticipating that this could be the breakout year, meaning up to 9 wins. So maybe I'm the one. I'm not so bold as to say I'm the one who started this, but I did bring this up unsolicited a couple of weeks ago. And then
a lot of people did start saying it, you know.
Right.
Unbeknownst
and again, to some
us.
Of it could be self-fulfilling prophecy because of what Matt Rhule said over the weekend and, you know, what has been described by people like Sip yesterday and others who have said, yeah, we've heard some really good things coming out of practice about Dylan. And I asked, you know, Mike Schaefer earlier about Dylan's floor, because to me that's the real question. What's
yes.
Dylan's floor?
Yes.
Because assuming he's healthy, assuming he plays, what's the bare minimum we can expect out of the quarterback position? And there's a degree of confidence that I have that whatever that floor is, it's still going to be good enough to win games. And it's still going to be good enough to make Nebraska a better program, given that other things are improving and that Matt Rhule's leadership is continuing to blossom, that, you know, things will get better just by having him here. I don't see this being a gigantic bust. I don't see Dylan Raiola turning into a gigantic bust, because I just think, you know, there's enough there to prove to me that, you know, he's going to be more than passable as a college quarterback. Now, certainly people want him to do great things. They want him to be the next Tommy Frazier, or they want him to be the next Turner Gill, and I understand that. But as far as my bare expectations, to me the interesting question is, what is the floor?
Yes.
So that I know kind of where we're building from. And if this building block process, this, how did Matt Rhule describe it? Staircase, I think, is how he used to describe it. Or scaffolding. This scaffolding process of building knowledge and building this program, if it's a good enough foundation that scaffold is standing on.
So a couple of things in there. The first one, going to the floor conversation, I think is a great way to start, because the reason that Nebraska missed a bowl game last year was because the quarterback's floor, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't know what the ceiling was of Sims or Harburg or Purdy. Like, we very rarely saw it, so it's almost a hard question to have. I know what the floor was, though, and that was constant turnovers, back-breaking decisions, you know, not winning games, but rather losing football games. Mm-hmm. So that happened a ton. So I think that starting there, I think, is a good idea. The other thing that I do want to ask you, I guess, is trying to figure out if something changed, or are we just talking about the team more at this moment in time, and that's why it seems like, whether it's the Kool-Aid is starting to flow or there is just a general excitement in the air, because, like, let's be honest, and we acknowledge this throughout much of February and March, like, wow, we're not talking about Nebraska football as much as we normally do. Why was that? Well, if you're a Nebraska fan, it's because the basketball team was on its way towards their first NCAA tournament berth in a decade. If you're a J-sker, well, Creighton basketball was again having another great year and on their way towards their third Sweet 16 in 4 seasons. And if you're just a local sports fan in general, there was a lot going on, not to mention the Caitlin Clark story, both of the women's basketball teams. Like, Nebraska football, in a very odd way, slid under the radar. And then you start spring ball, and I will go into next season forever believing that it was a cognizant effort and a cognizant decision by this coaching staff and Matt Rhule in particular, that they were not going to talk about Dylan Raiola a ton. They were not going to include him in a lot of the videos. Like, they were going to operate as totally as if he was another guy. And there is this part of me that thinks that Saturday, it wasn't that it was different, but more that there were people there that then started talking about it to others. Saturday was the most reportage, I guess, that I have seen coming out of any practice this spring, whether it was journalists or whether it was, I saw how many threads on message boards. Hey, I know somebody who was there, and this is what happened. That came out more after Saturday than any before. Was it because that was Dylan's best practice, or was it because it was a scrimmage, and scrimmages often have more people?
Well, it was the second scrimmage, and if you remember what Sip said yesterday, that's usually the most important one
yes.
of the spring.
Yeah.
The first one is the first one. The third one, which is the spring game, we already know that they hold stuff back for that, that it's not meant to be the best foot forward necessarily. It's the second scrimmage, though, of the spring where, things kind of really get serious. I think that's part of the reason why the talk ramped up and, the insiders or whoever they were who were populating the message boards or feeding information to reporters were probably doing just that. And listen, that's fine. That's all part of the process. But that doesn't change. That doesn't change any way that I felt, because maybe part of it is because I already felt that there was going to be improvement anyway at that position, that we were going to see, a true freshman start, and we were going to see a noticeable difference in quarterback play, and that was going to make a difference in this year's team. So, yeah, I push back a little bit that there's more Kool-Aid being chugged at this point. I think it's just kind of the natural ebb and flow.
People are just excited
of the conversation, and I don't know if people are necessarily I don't think people are necessarily excited about Saturday, even though it will be the only time they get a chance to see him. But all of the things that you laid out, we kind of got the fire hose
yes.
turned on this week versus maybe some other years where there weren't other things taking away our attention, and thus, I don't know if it was an effort to turn on the fire hose, or it just feels like the fire hose got turned on, because this really felt like the first week where the spring football conversation was the conversation.
Yeah, and so it's not that there was more info coming out. It was just there was I do think there was, though, with Saturday. But in particular, that suddenly this is, not the only show in town, because we're at a baseball park. Nebraska baseball got off to a really good start to this season, right? So it's not like there hasn't been other stuff. But, yeah, where it just suddenly became a bit more on the forefront. And, look, I will say this. There is a genuine excitement inside of those walls about Dylan Raiola. I think that is playing a part of this, too, is that, and I know a lot of people listening, their hearts have been hurt. They have been saddened by the program, and so they are really trying not to go all the way in or buy all the way in about these things. But I think that inside of those walls, they believe in this guy, and they think, wow, this is different. It's a different level of quarterback, especially at that age, than they've had around there. And so I think that excitement, I think, is going to be palpable too. I think, and I read that Marcus Satterfield quote a little bit earlier, but, telling Dylan, bring the energy. The guys are going to feed off the energy. Shave had a response of they've always been believing this about him, and I think that's true. But to maybe verbalize it to him and then to talk about it with him, I think that's pretty interesting.
We'll, of course, run our usual poll question. I didn't want to do anything before that because I like to, keep us on our regular timing. But we'll do our regular poll question, and we talked about this a little bit yesterday, but we always see that natural progression of positivity where,
positivity index.
Wherever it starts.
Positivity, boys.
It just continues to go up with each passing survey. We do the one right after the end of the regular season. Then we do this one. The second one will be right after the spring game. And then the next one will be at the beginning of fall camp after we've gone through the long you know, 4 months between the spring and the fall. And then the final one will be the week of the first season. And each poll, it just, the positivity index just goes up, you know, 5 to 10 percentage points each time, or at least it seems like it. This one will be one of the more interesting ones we've done to see if we get a big, big jump between wherever it was, and I don't even remember where it ended up.
I don't think it was that insanely positive, but maybe I'm remembering wrong.
I'd have to look it up, but it wasn't. I'll see if I can find it here. Let's see. Is this? Yeah, here it is. I think this is the one. Preseason Husker fan expectation poll. Is okay. So in December, the first poll we did.
Yeah.
It was 74.7% positivity.
Okay.
Last year, that same poll was 56%.
Woo! Okay, so never mind. I was wrong. I was remembering wrong.
So it was already really high, and I think, did we know? We didn't know about Dylan yet.
When's the date of the vote?
It cut off. So
that says November. No, then we didn't know. We didn't know about Dylan until mid-December.
Okay.
Because it was the – I remember I was off the day. It was the day after Dallas beat the Eagles.
Okay.
And I was like, they're good again. This is great.
So it already has started at a place that is higher than any other year. I mean, in 2021, the first poll was 52%. When we say positive
– You mean bull, right?
It's 6-6 or better.
Yeah. Okay.
And And in order to maintain consistency, we're going to ask the question in the same way. Some people will look at it and say, well, why aren't we moving up the – because right now the vote goes 3-9 or worse, 4-8 or 5-7, 6-6 or 7-5, 8 wins or more. There's going to be some who are going to say, why don't you start the floor at 5-7?
Because this is what we've always done.
And we got to keep it consistent.
Yes, we do.
But
maybe in the future it'll change, but right now this is we have to keep it consistent.
Right. So what will be interesting as we look, so in this vote that ended in early December, it was 59% thought a 6 or 7 win season. And 15%, 8 wins or more.
Okay, that's going to go up.
I think where we're going to see is some of the 59% move into the 15%.
I would bet overall that there will be more positivity, but I bet that the 8-4 crowd is going to be – I mean, you're a part of that group, right? You're an 8-4 boy now.
Now, yeah.
You are 10-2, waving the flag.
I didn't say 10-2.
11-1 if things go right.
Maybe even 12-1. I think you're out of your mind.
Jordan writes, how much is last year's quarterback play lowering the baseline so Dylan's play is looking outstanding comparatively? Of course, even average quarterback play gets us around 8 wins last year.
Well, that's why I say that what is Dylan's floor?
Yeah.
Is Dylan's floor better than what Nebraska has experienced at quarterback?
For the record, I don't think the response inside of the walls is in response to last year. I think that is quarterback evaluation from the coaching staff in general. And just, look, he's a 5-star. You know, there's going to be a certain way that he purports himself, and I think that he's doing that so far.
Well,
real quick,
we'll see, but we will have that. We'll make sure we start that poll next week. So be looking for it after the spring game. We'll start it on Sunday.
Okay.
After the spring game.
All right. Nick, do I hear that you have an update for us?
We have I'm going to call these the messy updates.
Messy updates. Not talking about Lionel. Yeah. He's a soccer player.
Oh.
Currently in the bottom of the sixth, there's two outs, and your Maryland Eastern Shore Hawks have scored a run.
Ah!
But in the top of the sixth, Mount St. Mary's scored 7 runs.
Let's go!
So it's now 10-5 Mount St. Mary's.
Hell yeah! Let's go Mount St. Mary's. John, what do you do? You're Catholic. What do you do to Mary? You pray or something?
You pray
what do you
her?
Do you pray to Mary?
I do not pray on Mary.
Don't you pray to Mary, Nick?
Man, the middle relief for UMass is just terrible.
It's a mess.
Josh's joy over this is just disgusting. So
let's go.
We probably need to bring him down to earth.
Here we
with
go.
The run and wrestling connection.
Oh, it's about that time, isn't it?
Yes.
Also,
it's time for our update, our weekly update. I get 2 minutes on pro wrestling, a real sport.
Nope.
Josh gets 2 minutes on running.
And I get 2 minutes on disc golf.
Definitely not. Also, we have a scheduling update to come as well. A scheduling update.
Oh.
Which means the best sounder in the business.
And dumb debates.
Wow. There we go. Stay tuned. We'll have more on that when we return.
All coming up next on 1620 The Zone.